Well, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of Grecian's Gossip with a slightly depleted team today. Hal's on holiday, Dave is elsewhere, and Ollie's left us. He's finished his work experience and he's returned back to uni. We, of course, wish him all the best. But fear not, as we soldier on, Jamie Hawkins here, joined by Daniel Clark.
Hello.
We've got quite a lot to cover, actually, so we'll get straight to it. It's been quite a hectic week, obviously from deadline day, 4 new signings. We can cover them all. Perhaps first, Jamie Stockley, a record transfer, believed to be about £100,000. Daniel, are you pleased to see him back?
I think it's hard to say, you wouldn't want to see him back. I mean, when he came on loan, was it? Two seasons ago, he was 10 goals in 20 games, something like that, which is, extrapolate that over the course of the season, there's your 20-goal striker that you're looking for, and particularly having lost the goals of David Wheeler, the goals of Ollie Watkins from last season. Exeter need those goals. They need someone, to try and get them those points to get back into the promotion picture, which they currently are in. They've been winning games 1-0 quite a lot this season, but you'd have to think at some stage this season perhaps you're going to need the second goal in games. And Jaden Stockley had a bit of a mixed time up in Scotland, but when he did play last time, he looked like a pretty good player. He scored the goals, he held the ball up well, he was a physical presence up front, and he was sort of, he's not going to be a like-for-like replacement for David Wheeler, who obviously has gone off to QPR, but you can play a similar kind of role out, maybe as a wide striker on the right-hand side, being that aerial presence. And I suppose once he's up to full fitness, once he's back to his best, you'd think he should be getting 10-15 goals over the course of the season. And particularly with the money coming in, it's hard to to have any sort of bad words to say about the signing, really. I mean, don't know what you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to him last week. He's a very nice guy, first of all. He said he doesn't feel any pressure with the fee. I guess, he's perhaps used to it now. I think he's 23 and it's his 10th club, so he's hoping to settle down. He played down, I asked him, or Ollie asked him rather, about any, comparison to Wheeler, and completely played that down. But you can see the similarities. He's a big guy, he can play the ball long to him, but he's also got, quite a bit of pace as well. It's just going to be interesting how he fits in at the moment, because, you look recently with Reid and McAlinden, we had Wheeler up there, and Lee Holmes back now, and we'll get on to Saturday's performance shortly, but it'd be a bit harsh to break them up at the moment. I guess the one that you would drop would be McAlinden. Perhaps he's done well so far, perhaps hasn't scored as many goals as he would have liked, but you think if he's going to come in for someone, it would be him. But it's going to be quite harsh. How do you think he'll fit in?
You feel though, he's a record signing, club of Exeter standing, it's very difficult to spend £100,000 on a player and then not pick him. I mean, we're sort of looking, and Paul Tisdale's got a lot of options actually in those attacking areas. You sort of feel perhaps he could play, wide out on the right hand side as a front three with, say, Reid and either Holmes or McAlinden. But then that sort of, you're looking at, where does Marcus Edwards fit into things, for instance. He looks a very talented winger, apparently played really well at Dagenham on Tuesday night in his, in the Under-23 Cup, and he's another option you've got there. You've got, Jack Sparks has, looked promising whenever we've seen him play as well. Jake Taylor's played a bit out on the right-hand side. Especially got Ryan Harley to come back to fitness, soon as well. So you've got a lot of attacking options. You'd think Stockley starts once fit, possibly up alongside Reuben Reid, and then a midfield of they've got a lot of options in there with Boateng to come in as well. So it's going to be some tricky decisions that Paul Tisdale's gonna have to make. But it's it's a good decision that you've got so many of these players that actually you look at and go, what have they started? That's not a problem, and so on. And it's almost building a squad for League One rather than League Two, because you look at the squad, you look at the signings, and you go, well, if City got promoted this season, would you need to replace them? And the answer to most of those questions is actually no. You know, you'd be happy with Stockley in League One, you'd be happy with Boateng, you're happy with Dean Moxey, you know, in that division. And that makes you sort of think, gives you a bit of confidence that this is a club that, you know, they're going places, you know, they're going up the divisions, and whatever they're doing, it's working at the moment. And you know, at the start of the season, I may finally get Paul Tisdale that Elusive Manager of the Month award, which obviously he's been nominated for.
Yeah, sure, and we'll mention that in a second. Just mention the other transfers you mentioned. Yes. Haram Boateng. Of course, joins on a permanent deal from Crystal Palace. He played in Tuesday's under-23 cup win at Dagenham. And, of course, Kane Wilson and Carl Edwards, both on loan from West Brom. It's quite an interesting link-up there, but we found out, and Paul Tisdale confirmed, that it was through Matt Oakley's connection with the West Brom development coach, I believe, that we managed to sign those players. So it's quite a hectic transfer deadline day, but I guess it shows, you know, Tisdale's intent of strengthening the squad. You know, we've seen over the years when we lose a key player and that's it, you know, when we have to go back into the youth academy to find the next, you know, Ollie Watkins or Tom Nichols that we've seen in previous years. But he's not hanging around, I guess, with the money from Watkins and Wheeler and previous Wembley money as well. That would have helped strengthen his side. And you know, let's perhaps Kane Wilson, the right back, 17-year-old. A lot of positive things said about him, but how much game time is he going to get with Piers Sweeney making a strong start?
You kind of feel that, you know, Wilson was on the bench for West Brom for the first couple of Premier League games this season. So, you know, that, you know, Tony Pulis, he's not normally one for throwing youngsters in and around the squad, you know, at all. So, you know, to have confidence that a 17-year-old on the bench shows perhaps what he thinks of him. He must rate him highly. He's, you know, he looks good for England and the youth team systems. You feel, you know, as good a start Piers Sweeney's made to the season. Perhaps, you know, Wilson will come in at right back, you know, maybe not every game, but, you know, a lot of the games. And you, so the other thing, you feel that if you are West Brom, you're not going to loan him out to a club unless you're pretty confident that you're going to play him, particularly if he's been in and around the first team squad. So I suspect that gives an indication that, you know, we're likely to see him involved. I mean, Piers Sweeney's actually a pretty good at start to the season, perhaps a little bit better than we may have anticipated. So, you know, there were times last season at right back he was struggling, particularly those diagonal balls over the top and the winger cutting in on him. Quite a few times he got caught out on the angle, but that hasn't really been the case this season. And alongside, you know, Troy Brown, Jordan Moore-Taylor, Craig Woodman, Christy Pym, he actually looked a pretty formidable defence. I mean, you know, they've won these three home games 1-0, and they haven't really ever looked like conceding too much in any of them, which is a good thing, really. You know, the defence is solid, and it's meaning that, you know, the loss of, you know, the 40-50 odd goals from the club in Watkins and Wheeler, you know, they're replacing them, you know, not necessarily by scoring goals, but, well, we'll concede one less goal a game every game, and that's what at this stage has put the Grecians top of the table.
We mentioned Haram Boateng, who played in that Premier League under-23 cup win on Tuesday night, and Dave caught up with him after the game, and here's what he had to say.
What were your thoughts on the game?
I think we took a bit of time to get into the game, but I think once we got a foothold in the game, the boys done quite well considering it was a young team, and quite a few of us hadn't played in the team as well. So I think come second half we've done a lot better.
And three players making their first starts for City out there, and they all played well, didn't they?
Yeah, I think obviously the lads that have joined the squad done well, gave a good account of themselves. And yeah, it's just good that we were able to get some minutes in.
And 90 minutes for you, how do you find out there?
Yeah, I was still getting up to speed, like being out, obviously being a bit behind, but I feel good. I feel like I'm ready to play, and I'm ready, obviously, when I am selected.
And is that sort of the key for you at the moment, to get those minutes under your belt and sort of find your sort of way back into sort of first team football in a way?
Yeah, you could say so. The main thing for me is just the team doing well, and hopefully the team can continue on the run that they've started since before I came. And obviously, if I can add to that, and when I can add to that, I'll be very happy to do so.
And do you obviously sign on Thursday? How are you finding it, City, at the moment? Settling in well?
Yeah, I am. I think it's been good because I've had a few familiar faces, so it's helped me settle in quite easily. So yeah, I'm just finding my feet a bit in Exeter, but I think I'll be fully settled in before no time.
And Forest Green on Saturday, obviously City top of the league at the moment. I guess just looking to keep the good form going.
Definitely. We know it'll be another tough side. Every game in this league seems to be a tough game, so obviously we'll go there, we'll go prepared for the game, and hopefully we can get a good result there.
Okay, Aaron.
Okay, moving on now, let's have a quick look back on Saturday's match. Another home win, another 1-0 win, keeps the unbeaten record going, top of the league, against Newport. And I thought, you know, it was a decent game. I thought Newport, you know, they looked a decent side, showed so much, you know, promise compared to last season. They had their chances, but for me, Daniel, again, City showed that without playing their best, they could still grind out results.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of first 30-35 minutes or so, it was all one-way traffic, really, and that traffic was towards Christy Pym's goal. I mean, Newport, they looked the more threatening side, but other than Troy Brown heading one off the line, had a decent couple of chances, you know, which were shots that ended up straight at Christy Pym rather than actually testing him. And you know, for all the pressure that Newport created, you know, had in that early engage, didn't really have that one big chance. And then Exeter came into the game with a turn the wheels a little bit, and eventually got the goal through Lee Holmes. You know, it's a great goal. You know, lovely way he cuts inside the defenders and curls it into the far corner. And given how the game went, I mean, very surprised that the referee didn't blow up for a foul by Ruben Reed in the build-up to it. So every other, you know, touch or push from anyone during the game was a free kick, but possibly the most blatant of the lot. The referee lets go, which is, you know, Newport will feel a bit hard done by that, but I think on the balance of play, just in the end, Exeter probably would have edged it on points if it was a boxing match, so to speak. And you know, it means they stay top, you know, still unbeaten. You know, 3 wins out of 3 at home, and it's continuing sort of a remarkable home record. I mean, last season we spoke so often about, you know, it's a home game coming up, so, you know, that's bad news. You know, the home form was pretty poor. But this season, you know, I think there's a stat going that Exeter have won the most home games of anyone in the Football League in 2017, which, you know, considering that it took them until the end of December last year to win the first home game, is a remarkable statistic, really, and just shows how, you know, things are turning around at the club and in a very, very positive way.
Such a crazy stat, really, because, you know, I always remember the first, in the early years of Tisdale's reign, it was always the way around of a strong home record, poor away record. I think of, you know, 70 home games, only lost 9 or something like that. And then it changed the other way, not winning at all at home. You know, people were saying it was a psychological thing, shooting towards the big bank in the first half on purpose. And now it's just completely turned around, and as a result, Tisdale has been nominated for Manager of the Month for the 11th time. A stunning record, really, to which he's never won the accolade. And I guess, in a way, on one hand, it's like, surely he deserves it. This is the time now, top of the league, it's a no-brainer. But on the other hand, perhaps will it, you know, this traditional curse follow it?
You'd be, you know, it, be very, very difficult, you feel, for anyone other than Paul Tisdale, you know, to be nominated to win the Manager of the Month award. I mean, the club at the top of the table, they're unbeaten. And you sort of look at, you know, it's not like there's, you know, anyone else who's had an outstanding, you know, start or a position. You look at the, you know, they've only got 11 fit players and they're third in the league or anything like that. You know, it's, you know, it really should be Paul Tisdale's to win, and, you know, it will be well deserved. You know, they coped from, see, last season, you know, they lost in the playoff final. There's often a bit of a hangover. Mm-hmm. Particularly when you've lost two or three of your best players as well. But, you know, despite not having a fully fit squad, you know, there's still the likes of Dean Moxie, we haven't seen kick a ball. Ryan Harley's only played 20 minutes on the opening day. I mean, there's others who have missed games as well, that, you know, to put all that behind them and still go on and, you know, win four of the first five games, you know, it will be a well-deserved, you know, triumph if and when he should pick that up. You know, obviously there's this Manager of the Month curse thing that always seems to go around. I'm not sure it's as much as a thing as people like to believe, you know, but we'll have to see. I mean, you know, the next two games, it's trips to Forest Green and Barnet, you know, two trips that you'd fancy coming away with, you know, at least one win out of those two. We'll speak about those games coming up soon, but, you know, I think Paul Tisdale, you know, should and will win the Manager of the Month, and I assume you agree on that one.
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, whoever picks the accolades just has to look at the League Two table, really. Top of the league, unbeaten, not many goals conceded. I know quite a few people have been saying, oh, maybe it'll be, I can't remember his name on the top of my head, but the Newport manager, just because I think they won in the League Cup as well, which obviously shouldn't be taken into consideration. But, you know, the turnaround that he's achieved from last season, saving them from relegation. But, you know, you got to look, the Manager Month for August, it should be focused on the league games that were played in August. And the table doesn't lie. Exeter City are unbeaten. I think they're the only team unbeaten now.
There's one other team.
Oh, okay.
Who are unbeaten as well, but they've drawn, might be Stevenage, that they've drawn three of their games. So,
right, we'll look at the most wins. So, yeah, it's surely a no-brainer, but we've said that perhaps 10 other occasions and it's not come through. Perhaps a little surprised that there are no City players nominated for Player of the Month. Troy Brown, maybe. He's been outstanding,
yeah,
hasn't he?
He's been really good at the back. But I suppose when you look at it, you know, early in the season, you often, I guess, you look at who scored the goals, who's been the star man. And, you know, for us, it's been more of a team performance, really, than anything. There's not been, I mean, Troy Brown and Jordan Mortale have been brilliant at the back, but centre-backs are, they're unfashionable normally in terms of individual award ceremonies, and he's, you know, you'd say if they were nominated, you'd go, well, yeah, I think they deserve it. But, you know, if you're having to point at the one extra man who's sort of been the star player this time, you know, it's hard to, you know, sort of say everyone's really contributed in, you know, pretty much all the games, really. I mean, it seems to be a different man of the match given each week, but, you know, particularly if Troy Brown does keep this form up, keep the extra, keep keeping clean sheets, you'd think, you know, for September he'd be a candidate to win that one, I guess.
Yeah, and well, Dave's caught up with Paul Tisdale recently. Let's find out what he had to say.
Points must be very pleased.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's a nice scoreline, 1-0. Ask the players to be strong defensively, and I think we were today. Newport played extremely well, I have to say. They played some really good football, had the best attacking play, but I think we defended really well and sort of had that sort of confidence about it that we could at some point take our chance when it came, and Lee Holmes did that.
Yeah, because there was a header off the line from Troy Brown in the first half, and both him and Jordan won many headers at the back as well, didn't they? It was a strong from their central defenders.
Yeah, I got a feeling they headed one off the line only a moment before Troy did, I think. I mess my top memory is hazy. I think we had a they headed one off the line, but so later we headed one off the line. I mean, there's no point dressing up different. They had the most attacking play first half, and they've proved to be quite adaptable. You know, played different shapes and systems in their first few games, and they're no mean team. And they took it to us in the first half, but we defended really, really well. And if we're going to be a candidate for a successful team this year, we have to have all aspects of our game, and which is what pleases me today, really, that we had that resilience and strength and speed to the ball, which, yes, they had shots, but they didn't get in on the goal very often. And there's a real positive nature to that type of element to our game.
You picked out Lloyd James and Tilly as a good partnership in central midfield last week, and again they covered a lot of ground today, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean they're playing as a two, and there'll be times when they're left a little bit isolated, and they really did a good job today, reducing any vulnerability we had through there, allowing us to play the two strikers, and. They're both doing really, really well. Their jobs are simple at the moment. They're competing in there, and they're asked to be mobile about the pitch, and both are doing that. And that's given us the opportunity to play people like Lee Holmes and, in wide areas. And then he showed us what he can do when he cut it in school.
Yeah, it was great goal from Lee, and some good work in the build-up from Ruben, as just putting the defender under pressure as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, I think Newport were appealing for a foul, but it looked like it would have been a soft foul if it had been given. I mean, Ruben got into quite a few good positions. I think it was him who set up Jordan Tilson for his sort of counter-attack chance. So Ruben had a very good game again today, just in terms of his presence and his thrust in terms of those attacking areas. And all things are okay. I mean, it's a little bit early to start getting carried away, but it's a good, strong start, and it's the sort of start you want after the disappointment of May the 28th, and the focus of the team is to arrive back for training and prepare for the season with a real robust mentality, and that's, I think, it bodes well.
And two of the new signings had to be content with a place on the bench today, but they came on late on as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good opportunity to put them on. I mean, Jaden and Graham have both been lacking in first team football in the last month. It's nice to give them 10 minutes to them, but it wasn't a charity. They both suited what I was asking for that last spell in the game. They're entitled to do, put more players in the box. They crossed it. You got a choice. You either stop it high up the pitch or you defend the box. And someone like Jordan Tilson able to step into that zone in front of the back four and go for everything. I took that option, and it meant Jaden had a run around really for 10 minutes to the end. And Iram came on and probably shot to his system, really, sort of second wind straight away. it was nice to have him out there, and I'm really positive about the contribution they'll have for us over the season to come.
Thank you, Paul.
You touched on it there, Paul, to show the character that you've shown at the start of this season, having obviously lost the playoff last year. I mean, just sort of bears testament to what you've got in this camp.
Yeah, we built a really, really good team last year, a really good team in all aspects, and it's very tempting as a manager to try to improve on that and take what you've got and, dare I say it, become a little bit clever. Probably learned from experience in the past, so my starting point was not to do that, was to build a team again through hard work and physical sort of robust element to our game. And I wanted just to make sure that we gave ourselves a good foundation for the season. So the nature of our play has kind of been symptomatic of that, and it's got us results. I'm delighted with the wins we've got. It's not just about being in a good position now, it's about where we finished after 46 games, but it's a nice place to start.
And the home form, it builds the atmosphere, doesn't it? You start off well at home.
It can't harm, and Newport had their chances, so look, I'm not going to get carried away. We've played well and lost at home before, and had a run of losing at home. It's not set in stone for the season. We've got a lot of work to do.
It's nice 3-1-0 wins.
Nice, great start, isn't it? Again, it's symptomatic of how the team's thinking. And there's no shame in that.
There's a great vibe around the whole club, though, isn't it? It's, you know,
yeah, it's healthy. The team of
redevelopment, the pregnant transfer record.
Yeah,
it's a very positive place to be.
It is. Yeah, it is. Very proud of it. And it's 30 days, but we have a committed, focused team, and that's in itself. Forget all the football. Forget the details of how we play. But the most important thing is you can see in the players' performances they are. At it and committed, and that's really all I can do as a manager is get them back into that frame of mind very early, and I think we've shown that in abundance.
Just last year, a touch of class from Lee, wasn't it, cutting in like that and in the bottom corner.
Lovely finish. Yeah, I thought he had a second really. I mean, we appealed for a handball whether it hit him on the arm or not, but it's hard to see from here. I mean, I'm sure you heard some appeals, but
we're appealing as well.
Yeah, I mean, if it hit him on the chest, then it's not a penalty. If it hits him on the arm, it's going in, regardless whether he meant it or not. The ball's on the goal line, so it's a penalty whether he meant it or not. I don't see how that's a debate, but here we are. We won in the end, so I've got no issues with anything today.
Okay, and just to round it off, we'll have a little preview of the games coming up. Two games, of course, Forest Green away on Saturday, followed by another away trip to Barnet the following Tuesday. Let's start with the Forest Green trip. Of course, a promoted side, first time in the Football League. We'll try and keep vegan puns to a minimum, because I think most people are fed up with it, or I am anyway. Yeah, promoted side, of course, but they've struggled slightly under Mark Cooper.
They've not made the start that they would have hoped for, really. And in particular, it's a number of goals that they're conceding. They seem to be conceding too many goals for their liking, and that's what's letting them down. Really, they're struggling. They've not scored the goals they want either, and they haven't really picked off the season in the way they wanted to. And you're looking at the record of Exeter this season, the record of Forest Green so far, you'd probably put down Exeter as favourites to win that one. And particularly given that Exeter have got these four new signings, they haven't really featured in any of the games. I mean, Stockley and Bertin came off the bench for the last 5 minutes against Newport, but that's four additions to bring into the squad if you want, players coming back from injury. And it's a really real chance to just keep this form going and stretch a lead at the top of the table. I mean, you'd think going to Forest Green, it's one of the more local trips away again this season, so there should be plenty of City fans making the short trip up the M5 to the ground. And as we saw against Cheltenham, even if you go 2-0 down early on, they had the strength for character to fight back, to recover from that, and still come away with a 3 points. So you'd be looking at the form sheets, looking at the way City are playing, looking at the start Forest Green have made, you'd almost feel this is another game that they should go out and try and get the win and keep that lead at the top of the table.
Yeah, and for me, I think if you want to be challenging, you've got to be looking at teams like Forest Green. No disrespect, but you've got to be looking at beating those, really, especially the form they're in. As you said, it's a fairly local game, another away local game. I think City have sold out the allocation, so expecting about 800, I understand, City fans to be making the trip. So it should be, you've got to be looking at another win, I think. And as we look ahead onto Tuesday with Barnet, I went to Barnet away last season. It was a great away day, 4-1 win, but they've made a steady start. Just looking at their results, and 4-1 win at Swindon on Saturday, a team that you think would be up there at the season.
They're doing that John Akinde as well. Exactly. He's not featured at all this season, and there was a bit of a running joke last season that you'd see Barnet would have scored a goal and go, well, that's John Akinde, he's got that one. But they've made a decent start this season without their star man, and you kind of look at them and you think, they're probably not going to be in and around the playoffs at the end of the season, but also there's no danger of them being in a relegation fight, so there'll be a sort of you feel solid mid-table, you know, position for them. And it's the kind of, you know, game that, again, it's winnable. You know, City have won there in the past on a few occasions. Particularly if they've won at Forest Green as well, they'll have even more momentum going with them. And then you'd probably look at it and you'd say, off these two trips, you'd like, you know, a minimum of 3 points, you know, ideally four, but, you know, or six if you can. But as long as you win, you know, if City win one of those two games, you feel that they're likely to still be top of the table. They'll definitely still be in the top three in that automatic promotion spot. And, you know, the longer you can stay up there, the more of a gap you can build to the, you know, above the sides below you. Sort of, we said in the past, you know, sides can fall away at the end of the season, but they, you know, they stumble over the line because of the points they gained earlier in the season when teams are still trying to sort themselves out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if, you know, City can come through these next two or three games still unbeaten, still top of the table, you can sort of start to really, you know, look, okay, well, let's not have seventh as a minimum target. Let's change that target to third and avoid the lottery of the playoffs, which, I mean, as we saw from last season, you know, 48 games of the whole long season comes down to a 90-minute shootout where City weren't at their best.
Mm. I think it's going to be a really tough test, you know, back-to-back away games, one midweek as well, with fairly, you know, sizable journey at Barnet on Tuesday night. So, you know, perhaps a 4 points would be a good return, but, you know, two wins would really put, you know, send the signals out there that, you know, listen, we're not only here to make the playoffs, we're here to challenge to keep that unbeaten run going. So it's going to be another fascinating and intriguing week for everyone at the club. Be interesting to see, you know, who comes into the side. You know, with all players, I think, available for selection. I know Kane Wilson just come back from England duty with the under-18s. So it'll be interesting to see if any of the new players, you know, get a start in place. And obviously you've got the youngsters like Jack Sparks featuring. So it's going to be an interesting few days once again. But thanks for listening, and we'll catch up again, I'm sure, next week.